Hi, I'm Andrew Connell. In this course on Office 365 development, I want to talk to you a little bit about creating client-side only applications with Angular, ADAL, and Office 365 APIs. Office 365 is built on three different tenets as far as a developer is concerned these days. The first tenet is extending Office everywhere, meaning that we can build applications that live in any of the Office clients, either those in the browser, on the desktop, or in the different mobile devices that are available to us, as well as different web-based applications. The second tenet is connecting to Office 365 services. Let's say, for instance, that I want to create a custom application. It can take advantage of all the different things you see here in the center of the screen, from users and groups, to files, to mail, to presentations, to spreadsheets and OneNote, you name it. I can integrate all of my data that I have in Office 365 inside of my Office application. And the best part is the third precept about build using any open platform. You see here we have listed as Microsoft.net. That's a common thing that we're all used to seeing. However, you'll see other things like Microsoft Azure, Heroku, Amazon Web Services, iOS, Xamarin, Android, Node, you name it. It doesn't matter what technology you want to use to build an application. There's pretty much going to be support and mostly native SDKs for every option that's available to us. So what are we going to talk about in this module? Specifically, I've had three different topics. We're going to talk about the challenges we have with creating client-side only applications. I'm going to talk about ADALJS, and then Office 365 APIs and cores. Client-side applications mean that we're building applications that are strictly going to run in the browser. That means HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. We want to make sure that they're cross-browser, so we're going to stick to just true and pure web technologies. There's going to be no server-side requirement to our application. We don't need to create a website. We don't need to create anything that's going to require special authentication or data access. We don't want to put any server-side stuff that's being required for our application. We want the entire app to run in the browser. One of the ways you can do this is using a presentation framework. These are commonly referred to as single-page applications or SPAs, and a very popular one is Angular. Angular is a presentation framework that's backed by Google that has grown great acceptance across the web. One of the things you're going to want to do from your single page application is leverage API services for data access for things using like the REST API, or in our case, we're going to want to use the Office 365 APIs. So let's talk about some of the challenges associated with creating client-side applications. Many client-side applications are going to want to be secured. If we want to build a standard application that has no security based on it, that's fine. But for a lot of business apps, we need to lock things down. Maybe we want to lock down specific screens. That's always going to be hard because we're always going to have things like HTML and CSS and JavaScript that if it's on the client, then someone could have access to it. What we really want to do is we want to secure the data. We're going to want to secure what shows up in those different screens. The fact that we have a layout of what a customer looks like, that's no big deal. It's what the information is that's inside of that, their email, their company name, their address, their phone numbers, their name. Those are the important things that we want to be able to protect. So the idea is that we need to be able to access protected endpoints such as REST APIs. Now there's two different ways you can go about doing this. The first way is using a server-side intermediary website. What you would do is from your client-side application, calls are going to be to your desired endpoints are going to be routed through a server-side website that's going to act as an intermediary. It's going to do all the authentication and protection of the OAuth2 access token. This isn't a very ideal option because what that means is that when you're using something like this, is we have a server-side component that we're going to have to deploy for our application, something we want to try to avoid. The other option is to leverage the OAuth2 implicit flow. This authentication flow allows us to create a single authentication mechanism where we have no server-side requirement. The authentication will happen right inside the browser with the user in a very secure and protected and standard-based way. Now, another one of the challenges we have is dealing with cross-domain HTTP requests. Modern browsers deny all calls across domains for security reasons. You might be familiar with this as cross-site scripting or XSS. One of the ways we can get around that is with something called JSONP or JSON padded. What this is this allows us to make a call to some endpoint and then say when you get back a response, then go run this function. Now, this works in a lot of different cases, but the service has to support JSONP, and not only that, JSONP is only going to allow us to get data, so it's not going to allow us to do any kind of writing or updating to the data. Usually what this means when I want to do any real interaction or business interaction with my application, it's going to mean I'm going to have to create a server-side intermediary website. This is going to call the different APIs that don't support cross-domain HTTP requests on my behalf. Let's see how we get around these two different issues. First, I'm going to look at the security option, and for that I'm going to talk about ADALJS. ADALJS is the Azure Active Directory application library for JavaScript. Azure AD has shipped with various libraries for dealing with authentication and custom applications. We have .NET SDKs for Windows and web projects, mobile SDKs for things like iOS and Android, the Java SDK, a Node.js SDK, you name it. What Microsoft did, specifically around Azure AD, is they added support for the OAuth2 implicit flow. This is going to allow us to create a single sign-on based approach with 100% client-side facing. ADALJS is going to be an SDK that we can use for JavaScript, and it's also going to include an Angular service. I've included a link here on the screen to where you can find the library on GitHub. From there, there's links to where you can download it either using NuGet or Bower. Let me show you a demo of how we can create an application in Azure Active Directory and then take advantage of ADALJS inside of an application to create a single sign-on based experience. The first thing that we're going to need to do is we're going to need to create an application in Azure Active Directory. So I've already logged into my Azure Active Directory tenant here. I'm going to go over and create a new application. So I'll click on the Applications tab and click Add. I'm going to say I'm going to pick an application my organization is developing. I'm going to go ahead and give it a name. I'll just call it the Expense Tracker. The sign-on URL, we're going to be coming from HTTP localhost 8000. And the ID for my application needs to be some unique value. I'm going to choose the domain for my Office 365 tenant and just throw in the name of the app on the end. Now that Azure's gone ahead and created my application, I'm going to come over to the Configure tab. And here, I'm going to go ahead and scroll down. I'm going to find the section where I can grant permissions to my app. We're going to go ahead and add an application. Specifically, we're going to add SharePoint Online. I'm going to give this application some permissions. Specifically, I'm going to give it access to read items in all site collections, edit or delete items in all site collections, and also read users' files in their OneDrive for Business. I'll go ahead and save my changes. Now that that's done, I need to go tell my application that I want it to support the OAuth implicit flow. And the way I do that today is by downloading the manifest. Here's our manifest file. If I come over here, you see a section here where it says OAuth 2 allow implicit flow and it's set to false. I'm going to change that to true. And I'll save my changes. And now we're going to re-upload the manifest. And now we see that my manifest has already been uploaded. Now the next thing we're going to do is I want to grab some values out of this app, and I need to go update my application. So the first thing you need to do is I need to copy the client ID out and go add that to my application. So I'll click on copy, I'll come over here to brackets, find my application, and I'm going to look for the app.constants.ts file, and that's where I'm going to have a bunch of constants for my app. I'll go ahead and paste that value in for my client ID, and you see I also need the tenant. So the way I'm going to grab the tenant is I'm just going to look up here in the URL, and I have a GUID, and I know that that value right there is the ID of my Azure AD tenant. Another way to find that is if I come over here to the quick launch or the quick start for my app, and I click on the enable users to sign on, this value right here, you'll find the GUID right here inside of my app. So I go ahead and copy this whole value out. Come back over here to brackets and paste it in and get rid of everything except for the ID for the Azure AD tenant. Now with that, I'm pretty much good to go. So I'll go ahead and save my changes. and then I'm going to need to compile my TypeScript back down to JavaScript. If you refer to the lab associated with this video, you'll find that there is a gulp task file that has a compile TS task that'll go through and compile all of your stuff down to JavaScript. So now that I've done that and I have my JavaScript site, let's go ahead and actually run the site. So I'll type in SS port 8000. I'm using a node module called Superstatic, and I'm gonna run my site on port 8000. Okay, so now we know our app is now running on localhost 8000. So let's come over here and I'll open up a new browser and navigate to localhost 8000. And here's our website. So let's go ahead and log in. Now that I've gone, it's redirected me over to Azure to log in, I'll go ahead and log into my application. And we can see here now that I'm logged into the application exactly where I want it to be logged in. You can see I've even got a logout button that it can detect that I'm logged in. Now that we see that our application has now been created, it's now supporting the OAuth implicit flow, and it's been set up now to redirect back to my application when I log in, now I can take advantage of touching different secured RESTful endpoints. And I'll, before we do that though, I need to talk a little bit about working with different services across domains. Now that we've seen how to secure and authenticate in our application, let's see how we can get around the challenge of working with data across domains. And for that, I'm going to talk about the Office 365 APIs and their support for CORS. CORS stands for Cross-Origin Resource Sharing. What it is that we can have a web service that supports CORS, and what that does is it allows us to create a web service. That web service will then say that it is going to whitelist certain domains or all domains and grant them access to making a call for their web service across domains from the browser. All the modern browsers support this technology called CORS, and I've included a link here where you can see a little bit more information about it. So how does it work? What happens is that from the browser, when you issue a request, the browser is going to see that the endpoint that you're requesting is not on the same domain that you're currently on. So what it does is it first issues what's called a pre-flight request. That is a simple HTTP request, but the verb that's going to be used is called options. It's also going to pass across a header called origin with the URL that you're coming from. So in the case here on the slide, I'm on a site called foo.com. The web service that I'm calling is then going to respond, and it's going to say that if it does allow or does not allow CORS. I can tell that it does allow CORS by the second header that you see there listed, where it says access control allow origin. Now with that, the response is either going to have a star, which says we allow all domains to come in, or it's going to list the domains that are allowed to come in, including the one that I just came from. In the case of the Office 365 APIs, they're always going to use a star to where they say anybody can come in and access us. It's also going to include a header for access control allow methods that's going to list out all the HTTP methods that this web service will support across domains. The browser is going to first issue the pre-flight request. It's going to get the response. And if the request that you're trying to make, first, is the domain you're coming from is allowed, and then two, if the verb you're using is also allowed, it will then reissue the request that you originally wanted it to issue, like an HTTP GET going to some RESTful endpoint. The cool thing about this is there's absolutely nothing that you have to do. For example, if you're using Angular or jQuery, when you go to make a request, the browser is going to see that you're making an HTTP request across domains. It's first going to issue the options request, the pre-flight request, and see if what you're asking it to do is allowed, and if so, then it will issue your request. So this is really transparent. Let's see how we can take advantage of this inside of our application. In this demo, I want to show you how to work with the Office 365 APIs that support CORS. The first thing we're going to need to do is go back to our application. And inside of our application, we have an app.constants file that has a list of a bunch of different things that say have the word tenant. So what I have is I have a property here looking for the base SharePoint URL, the base OneDrive URL, and then I have this section here called AAD endpoints. Well, the way that this application works is if I come over here in the app.module.ts file, you'll see that when the Angular app loads, and then after it loads, the configuration phase is going to load the settings object we were just looking at a moment ago, and it's also going to inject the ADALJS service provider that is available, that Microsoft has created and provided for Angular apps. Here you see I'm calling looking at the ADAL object, and I'm calling configure and passing in three values. That's going to be located in app.adal.ts. So this is where the configuration is happening. The important thing that I want you to take note of here is this endpoints section that you see right here. This is looking at that endpoints collection that we have. Let's come back over here to our constants for a second. So what is this? Well, first of all, on these endpoints, what happens is that ADAL is going to be looking for any request that you make across domains or across any domain. And when it finds that you have made a request to a specific endpoint, specifically one of the ones that you see here over on the left-hand side, for a resource that uses this ID, what it's going to do is it's going to say, I need to go ahead and I need to attach the OAuth2 bearer token, the access token, to the request automatically for you. So we need to update some of these values here. So if I come back over to the browser, what you'll see is I have this SharePoint site that's been created. Inside this SharePoint site, we have a list of employees, I have a list of expenses, and I have a list of states. These are all data elements that are going to be used by my application. We know that we can access these different lists using the REST API. So I want to grab the root of this site right here, and I'm going to copy this and go back to my code over here in brackets. And I'm going to change the URL to point to the root URL of the site of the endpoint. So I know it's /sites/MVA_API. I know that my tenant over here as well for OneDrive is going to be the same thing as my tenant ID -my/sharepoint.com. And I can see that if I come over here to my OneDrive for Business, you can see that I've got PSO 365 APIs 02. And if I look at the receipts folder, you see I have a bunch of receipts that I've already gone ahead and loaded. Let's come back over here to the application. Now the next thing I need to do is I need to update these different endpoints so that ADAL.js is watching for these things to get changed. So if I go, or to make ADAL.js is going to be listening for requests to services at these endpoints, and when it finds them, it'll include the OAuth2 access token to those different endpoints. So I'm going to grab these values and plug them in. And I need to make sure that I'm pointing to the right API here. So this is going to be site/MVA. And then I'll save my changes. If I come over here to my data.js service and I scroll down a little bit, what you'll see inside the constructor for this class is that I have a base SP URL that is coming from the settings value that we just set a moment ago. If I look a little bit farther down, when I go to get information from these different lists, you can see I'm just using that base URL, and then I'm using the rest of the information here to go select data from a specific SharePoint list. And the same thing is true with expenses. So there's nothing special going on with this. You can see I'm just making a simple $HTTP GET request using the $HTTP service in Angular, using this endpoint we specified, and my GET options you see here are simply adding in the JSON accept header, that I'm only looking for data to come back as JSON with the accept header. Same thing is true with files, the files API. So if I open up this files service and I scroll down a little bit, you'll see the same thing right here for this endpoint. This endpoint is just looking at the base URL for the OneDrive URL. It's passing in, looking for the receipts folder and getting all the items inside that receipts folder, and then making a simple HTTP GET request. The options that I'm specifying, again, same thing. I'm just looking for JSON data to come back. So now I should be able to save my changes. I come over here, we're gonna rerun the compilation process to compile all of our TypeScript down to JavaScript, and then we'll start up our web server again. So we'll go and log in, and you can see we're now logged in. And now we get all of our data back. We're making that call across domains. let me show you a little bit about how this data comes back. So I'm going to come over here and I'm going to open up the developer tools. I'm going to open up the network tab. I'm going to filter it down to only show XHR requests. So let me come over here and let me click on expenses. So what you'll see here, the part that you want to take notice of is the fact that there are two requests that match each request. So you see here this first one, I'm trying to get all the information about the current user. If we look at the details of this request, you can see I'm making an HTTP options request right here, and the response that came back is a 200, and there's the URL I'm making a request to. If I scroll down and look at the response that comes back, here's the response headers. The part that you need to take notice of here is a few things. First of all, here's the allow methods. Get is the thing I'm doing, so we know that the browser now knows that a get is definitely going to be allowed by this service. And any domain is going to be allowed because the allow origin is equal to a star. This max age is saying how long is this request now going to be okay, because what happens on the server side is the server side has gotten a request for this domain coming from localhost 8000, and it's saying, okay, we are going to allow localhost 8000 to come in for this amount of time using these different verbs. Once it sees that, it will then reissue that exact same request right down here, but this time it does your standard HTTP GET to get the data back now. And now we can see that the ADALJS is also attaching our bearer token that you can see on here in the authorization header. I can even see in the preview response, here's all the data that's coming back. So with this, you've seen how to go ahead and make requests using the cross-domain support that's done using cores for the Office 365 APIs, using the SharePoint List API. I'll come over here to expenses and I click on the plus. I can see all these different files that came back from my OneDrive for Business. If I scroll down here, you can see on the Get by Path, that's the request to the Files API. Specifically, if I select this one up here, we can see that we made another options request. And in the header, it came back and it says the method Get was allowed, as well as the origin of anybody's allowed in. So we can see how we also took advantage of the Office 365 Files API and his support for cores. So in summary, what have we covered? I've talked about some of the challenges about building client-side only applications and how we can get around them using things like ADLJS and the Office 365 APIs and their support for cores. If you're looking to get more information on developing for Office 365, go check out the dev.office.com site. It's got a wealth of information there. If you're just getting started, there's a link to where you can jump on and grab the different downloads that you need to work in the different platforms that you want to build in. There's a way for you to explore the different APIs using the API sandbox. And then finally, there's a slew of training information, including this module here, that you'll see listed on the training site. There's three different ways that you can give feedback to Microsoft on Office 365. There's a way that you can have a conversation with Microsoft and with your peers in the Office 365 network on Yammer. If you have ideas for features or feedback for different bugs that you might have found, you want to go submit that stuff to the user voice submission. That's at officespdev.uservoice.com. And then finally, if you have questions, go to Stack Overflow and make sure that you tag those questions with MS-Office. The engineering team is watching those questions and they're answering them as they come in, as well as your peers. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes to watch this video, and I hope you learned something from it.